we hand over our medical records to our doctors.
And they're being hacked. Nowadays, they're being bloody hacked, all these things, because they're accessible.
What is the business model of Amazon? The Amazon algorithm, take Alexa, that little device that sits on your desk and you order it to, you know, buy you milk and, you know, get you a book or switch off the lights. You know, it looks like a slave, but it's not really a slave. It's an interface with the cloud capital of Jeff Bezos. So you're training it to train you, to know you well, to give you good advice, to win your trust. And once it's got your trust, then it can say, you know, when you, if you want to buy an electric bicycle, buy that particular one, and then you buy it. And watch this. Not only has it convinced you to buy this particular bicycle, and this is a machine that has done that, not a human advertiser or marketeer, but it has actually bypassed every single market to sell it to you directly, okay? And Bezos gets 40% of the bicycle price. So that's not a market anymore. This is like a cloud fiefdom. And that is an exorbitant power to have. And also, it affects you even if you never use Amazon, if you have a Nokia phone that has no network connection, because when about 30 to 35% of GDP, and this is my estimate, is siphoned off in terms of these rents away from the circular flow of income, then the central bank, the Bank of England, has serious trouble rebalancing the economy. It faces inflationary pressures, but at the same time, it faces deflationary pressures because of all this rent being extracted. Now, that is a dysfunctional system, and the only way of doing something about that is by challenging the right of Jeff Bezos to own the digital platform on which we trade. But that requires moving towards socialism, which becomes far more relevant today, given that we've moved away from capitalism, because what Jeff Bezos has created with Amazon is the wet dream of the socialist planning ministry called Gosplan in the Soviet Union. Because remember, what Gosplan was trying to do in the Soviet Union was to replace the market with an algorithm. They called it cybernetics. The idea of matching buyers and sellers. This was the idea of Now, Bezos has done that within Amazon. And, you know, it's not just Amazon. Walmart in the United States has created and so on. So these are very big issues. Don't have time to say more about it. But again, there are things we can do tomorrow morning, and there are things that we need to plan for in the future. But for that, we need a democratic movement, because these governments are not going to do even the simple things that could do this afternoon.
What would happen to the development of technology if Google was challenged in this way?
There was this question about should we break up big tech. I actually don't see how that would help solve the problem. I'm not just saying that just because I work at Google, but just kind of as a thought experiment. If you know you split Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, owned by Meta, into different companies, I mean they still would individually have their own data stream, right? You'd just be carving up the profits differently, but I don't think that would solve the problem. Also, the way technology works is that there are always upstart startups that are constantly innovating. So even if you break up the big tech giants, there's just going to be a new player that comes on the market, just like TikTok was, you know, an OpenAI used to be small companies and now they're not. So I think that's not going to really ultimately solve the issue. Now, in terms of your question about, you know, how, maybe we can change the way data is used. You know, as I mentioned before, I think it's a very complex issue because you do need data to train the models and the algorithms in order for them to be useful, right? I mean, we don't want our news feed, our recommendation feed to just be some random slop. We do want it to be useful for us. So I think maybe the right way to think about it is in terms of the trade-off of what is acceptable usage and what is unacceptable usage. And of course, we do have regulations in place. Of course, there's a difference between having regulation and complying with that regulation. I think we live in a world in which there's a strong differential of power, but that's just tech. That's money. That's government, right? The president has an extraordinary amount of power, and you can ask the same question: how can I, as a citizen, change the laws or have a say in the laws, right? And I think sort of. It's not up to any one individual. We as a society have a responsibility and a vigilance to sort of build the society we want to live in, right? And on the technology side, there's a feedback mechanism where, you know, ordinary people like me working at the tech companies, hopefully we have the good judgment and conscience to build these technologies properly. And of course, we get feedback once it's released into the market, and there's a self-correcting mechanism. And the same is true of government as well, right? People do vote, still things might not go in the right direction, but it's a process. It's not just kind of an overnight thing, as Yannis said. I think it's an ongoing dynamic, both in the tech world, the legal world, any other world. You know, like, right, there's the way we produce food. Right now, there's more options in terms of, do you want organic, do you want free range? And of course, that's also going to be a process in terms of, animal welfare and things like that. So I think everything is kind of a process of responding to what we want and building better systems, not just in tech.
I think it's too big right now to say what we will do with the big tech. I just want to say, from an individual point of view, some of the disasters that come to us through tech comes because anonymity is allowed. And maybe the initial thought was, when people can be anonymous, it's easier to fight autocratic governments and so on. But it has proven untrue, because they always will find you through identifiable numbers there are anyhow. But for normal users, it's essential that we are not meeting constantly anonymous influences. And that goes to whether it's trolls or anybody trying to bully us particularly, but also to the information flow, but in a way also who has access to our data. Because I truly believe people who work in tech are no better or worse than any of the rest of us. The thing is, access to influence other people's life is enormously bigger. I mean, the woman who sits and takes your payment in the supermarket, she cannot harm your life very much if she doesn't like you. But the one who sits in the tech company with access to your data, even if there are ethical codes for not accessing this or that person, but somebody who has a grudge against you for whatever reason, your ex-wife or your ex-husband or who wants to stalk, they can find out anything about you if they work in that tech company. And that's the problem, that once you give human beings with their good and bad characteristics access to harm other human beings in an infinite manner, it will be abused. And we need somehow to put names on that access to somehow even safeguard the normality of our lives.
Just to be clear, it's not legal to just for someone to peer into your personal data. Just
but there's so many things that are not legal, but if it's possible and easily possible, it will be done, which is what is happening.
But, I think a concept we haven't touched upon is this concept of trust, right? I mean, we do cede trust to institutions that we trust, right? Like we hand over our medical records to our doctors.
And they're being hacked. Nowadays, they're being bloody hacked, all these things, because they're accessible. It's illegal to hack. But isn't it every single day, credit card numbers, social security numbers, medical records and so are being hacked everywhere in the world.
But I mean, we have to fight technology with technology. So it's always, I think there's a bit of a bias here, because of course you hear all the bad examples, but of course there's also all the online fraud that you never hear about, that machine learning systems are actively fighting to prevent fraud in financial transactions and whatnot. So I think, we're not going to go back. I don't think anyone's advocating, okay, we need to tear down the system, no technology, because there are these, failure modes. I think we need to fight technology with technology, right? So, we're going to have to use better, cryptographic methods and whatnot to increase security, et cetera, et cetera. So I think
the question is, who are we? You say we have to. Mark Zuckerberg was the one that weaponized his data set almost totally legally. There was no repercussion, really. We saw what happened with Cambridge Analytica. I do not include Mark Zuckerberg in the we that must fight that, because he used, and I'm sure that Google is doing this too, Palantir certainly is doing it in the Middle East. Our governments are doing it in association with Amazon. They are using every trick in the digital book by which to survey us, by which to usurp us, by which to manipulate us and to modify our behavior. So, the question is, Is there going to be a democratic control of that? What you are describing now as the legal system is utterly geared towards ensuring that the demos is kept out of our democracies.
Sure. But, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's, okay, I mean, he's a very powerful person, but he's just one person, right?
He's not one person. He's the head of Meta.
Okay. But he doesn't build a system.
And just because he was caught and some of your bosses haven't been caught yet.
I mean, for example.
Doesn't make them innocent.
I mean, look, you know, we saw what happened at OpenAI, right? Ilya Sutskever left to start his own AI safety company. Mira Murati, the former CTO, has left. And so likewise with Facebook or X or whatever, you know, these things are built by ordinary people, ordinary engineers. They can leave and start new companies. It's a dynamical system, right?
Yes, so, and then they are taken over and shut down because this is what Google does. That's what Meta does. That is, you mentioned Instagram before and, you know, what was Instagram? It was a startup that, you know, Zuckerberg bought to prevent it from competing with him. Yeah. So